Mangala Manura Lari.
Six.
At the exit of White Columns sits a black car curled up like a panther, a burnished steel lens reflecting the low glow of Oahu Road. It is a unit. It is a mobile unit of Medicops Unlimited. A silvery badge is embossed on its door. A chrome-plated cop badge the size of a dinner plate, bearing the name of said private peace organization and emblazoned, "Dial 1-800-THE-COPS," all major credit cards. Medicops Unlimited is the official peacekeeping force of White Columns, and also of the Mews at Windsor Heights, the Heights at Bear Run, Cinnamon Grove, and the farms at Cloverdale. They also enforce traffic regulations on all highways and byways operated by Fairlanes, Inc. A few different FOQNEs also use them, Caymans Plus and the Alps, for example. But franchise nations prefer to have their own security force. You can bet that Medizania and New South Africa handle their own security. That's the only reason people become citizens, so they can get drafted. Obviously, Nova Sicilia has its own security, too. Narcolumbia doesn't need security because people are scared just to drive past the franchise at less than 100 miles an hour. YT always snags a nifty power boost in neighborhoods thick with Narcolumbia consulates. And Mr. Lee's Greater Hong Kong, the granddaddy of all FOQNEs, handles it in a typically Hong Kong way, with robots. Medicop's main competitor, Worldbeat Security, handles all roads belonging to cruiseways, plus has worldwide contracts with Dixie Traditionals, Pickett's Plantation, Rainbow Heights, check it out, two apartheid burbclaves, and one for black suits. Meadowvale on the insert name of river, and Brickyard Station. Worldbeat is smaller than Medicops, handles more upscale contracts, supposedly has a bigger espionage arm. Though, if that's what people want, they just talk to an account rep at the Central Intelligence Corporation. And then there's the enforcers. But they cost a lot and don't take well to supervision. It is rumored that, under their uniforms, they wear T-shirts bearing the unofficial enforcer coat of arms. A fist holding a nightstick emblazoned with the words, "Sue me." So YT is coasting down a gradual slope toward the heavy iron gate of White Columns, waiting for it to roll aside, waiting, waiting, but the gate does not seem to be opening. No laser pulse has shot out of the guard shack to find out who YT is. The system has been overridden. If YT was a stupid ped, she would go up to the Medicop and ask him why. The Medicop would say, "The security of the city-state," and nothing more. These burbclaves, these city-states, so small, so insecure that just about everything, like not mowing your lawn or playing your stereo too loud, becomes a national security issue. No way to skate around the fence. White Columns has 8-foot iron robo-rot all the way around. She rolls up to the gate, grabs the bars, rattles it, but it's too big and solid to rattle. Medicops aren't allowed to lean against their unit, makes them look lazy and weak. They can almost lean, look like they're leaning. They can even brandish a big leaning against the car too, like this particular individual, but they can't lean. Besides, with the complete glinting majesty of their personal portable equipment suite, hanging on their personal modular equipment harness, they would scratch the finish of the unit. "Jack this barrier to commerce, man. I got deliveries to make," YT announces to the Medicop. A wet, smacking burst, not loud enough to be an explosion, sounds from the back of the mobile unit. It is the soft thump of a thick wrestler's loogie being propelled through a rolled-up tongue. It is the distant, muffled splurt of a baby having a big one. YT's hand, still gripping the bars of the gate, stings for a moment, then feels cold and hot at the same time. She can barely move it. She smells vinyl. The Medicop's partner climbs out of the back seat of the mobile unit. The window of the back door is open, but everything on the mobile unit is so black and shiny, you can't tell that until the door moves. Both Medicops, under their glossy black helmets and night vision goggles, are grinning. The one getting out of the mobile unit is carrying a short-range chemical restraint projector, a loogie gun. Their little plan has worked. YT didn't think to aim her night visions into the back seat to check for a goo-firing sniper. The loogie, when expanded into the air like this, is about the size of a football. Miles and miles of eensy but strong fibers like spaghetti. The sauce in the spaghetti is sticky, goopy stuff that stays fluid for an instant when the loogie gun is fired, then sets quickly. Medicops have to tote this kind of gear because when each franchulate is so small, you can't be chasing people around. The perp, almost always an innocent thrasher, is always a 3-second skateboard ride away from asylum and the neighboring franchulate. Also, the incredible bulk of the personal modular equipment harness, the chandelier gear, and all that is clipped onto it slows them down so bad that whenever they try to run, people just start laughing at them. So instead of losing some pounds, they just clip more stuff onto their harnesses, like the loogie gun. The snotty fibrous drop of stuff has wrapped all the way around her hand and forearm and lashed them onto the bar of the gate. Excess goo has sagged and run down the bar a short ways, but is setting now, turning into rubber. A few loose strands have also whipped forward and gained footholds on her shoulder, chest, and lower face. She backs away, and the adhesive separates from the fibers, stretching out into long, infinitely thin strands, like hot mozzarella. These set instantly, become solid, and then break, curling away like smoke. It is not quite so gratendous, now that the loogie is off her face, but her hand is still perfectly immobilized.
You are hereby warned that any movement on your part not explicitly endorsed by verbal authorization on my part may pose a direct physical risk to you, as well as consequential psychological and possibly, depending on your personal belief system, spiritual risks ensuing from your personal reaction to said physical risk. Any movement on your part constitutes an implicit and irrevocable acceptance of such risk, the first medicop says. There's a little speaker in his belt, simultaneously translating all of this into Spanish and Japanese.
Or as we used to say, the other medicop says, freeze, sucker!
The untranslatable word resonates from the little speaker, pronounced esakar and saka, respectively.
We are authorized deputies of Medicops Unlimited. Under section 24.5.2 of the White Columns Code, we are authorized to carry out the actions of a police force on this territory.
Such as hassling innocent thrashers, YT says. The medicop turns off the translator.
By speaking English, you implicitly and irrevocably agree for all our future conversation to take place in the English language, he says.
You can't even rez with YT says, YT says.
You have been identified as an investigatory focus of a registered criminal event that is alleged to have taken place on another territory, namely, the Mews at Windsor Heights.
That's another country, man. This is White Columns.
Under provisions of the Mews at Windsor Heights Code, we are authorized to enforce law, national security concerns, and societal harmony on said territory also. A treaty between the Mews at Windsor Heights and White Columns authorizes us to place you in temporary custody until your status as an investigatory focus has been resolved.
Your ass is busted, the second medicop says.
As your demeanor has been non-aggressive, and you carry no visible weapons, we are not authorized to employ heroic measures to ensure your cooperation, the first medicop says.
You stay cool and we'll stay cool,
the second medicop says.
However, we are equipped with devices included but not limited to projectile weapons, which, if used, may pose an extreme and immediate threat to your health and well-being.
Make one funny move and we'll blow your head off, the second medicop says.
Just unglow my fucking hand, YT says. She has heard all this a million times before. White Columns, like most burbclaves, has no jail, no police station. So unsightly. Property values. Think of the liability exposure. Medicops is a franchise just down the road that serves as headquarters. As for a jail, some place to habeas the occasional stray corpus. Any half-decent franchise strip has one. They are cruising in the mobile unit. YT's hands are cuffed together in front of her. One hand is still half-encased in rubbery goo, smelling so intensely of vinyl fumes that both medicops have rolled down their windows. 6 feet of loose fibers trail into her lap, across the floor of the unit, out the door, and drag on the pavement. The medicops are taking it easy, cruising down the middle lane, not above issuing a speeding ticket here and there, as long as they're in their jurisdiction. Motorists around them drive slowly and sanely, appalled by the thought of having to pull over and listen to half an hour of disclaimers, advisements, and tangled justifications from the likes of these. The occasional Cosa Nostra delivery boy whips past them in the left lane, orange lights aflame, and they pretend not to notice.
"What's it gonna be, the hoosegow or the clink?" the first medicop says.
From the way he is talking, he must be talking to the other medicop. "The hoosegow, please," YT says.
"The clink,"
the other medicop says, turning around, sneering at her through the anti-ballistic glass, wallowing in power. The whole interior of the car lights up as they drive past a buy-and-fly. Loiter in the parking lot of a buy-and-fly, and you'd get a suntan. Then world-beat security would come and arrest you. All that security-inducing light makes the Visa and MasterCard stickers in the driver's side window glow for a moment. "YT is card-carrying," YT says. "What does it cost to get off?"
"How come you keep calling yourself Whitey?"
the second medicop says. Like many people of color, he has misconstrued her name.
"Not Whitey. YT," the first medicop says.
"That's what YT is called," YT says.
"That's what I said," the second medicop says. "Whitey. YT," the first one says, accenting the T so brutally that he throws a glittering burst of saliva against the windshield. "Let me guess. Yolanda Truman? No. Yvonne Thomas? No. What's it stand for?"
"Nothing."
"Actually, it stands for yours truly, but if they can't figure that out, fuck 'em."
"You can't afford it," the first medicop says. "You're going up against TMAWH here."
"I don't have to officially get off. I could just escape."
"This is a class unit. We don't support escapes," the first medicop says.
"Tell you what,"
the second one says.
"You pay us $1 trillion, and we'll take you to a hoosegow. Then you can bargain with them."
$500 billion, YT says.
$750 billion,
the medicop says.
"Final. Shit, you're wearing cuffs. You can't be bargaining with us."
YT unzips a pocket in the thigh of her coverall, pulls out the card with her clean hand, runs it through a slot on the back of the front seat, puts it back in her pocket. The hoosegow looks like a nice new one. YT has seen hotels that were worse places to sleep. Its logo sign, a saguaro cactus with a black cowboy hat resting on top of it at a jaunty angle, is brand new and clean.
"The hoosegow, premium incarceration and restraint services. We welcome busloads."
There are a couple of other medicop cars in the lot, and an enforcer paddy bus parked across the back, taking up 10 consecutive spaces.
This draws much attention from the medicops.
The enforcers are to the medicops what the Delta Force is to the Peace Corps.
"One to check in," says the second medicop.
They are standing in the reception area. The walls are lined with illuminated signs, each one bearing the image of some Old West desperado. Annie Oakley stares down blankly at YT, providing a role model. The check-in counter is faux rustic. The employees all wear cowboy hats and five-pointed stars with their names embossed on them. In back is a door made of hokey old-fashioned iron bars. Once you got through there, it would look like an operating room. A whole line of little cells, curvy and white like prefab shower stalls. In fact, they double as shower stalls. You bathe in the middle of the room. Bright lights that turn themselves off at 11 o'clock. Coin-operated TV. Private phone line. YT can hardly wait. The cowboy behind the desk aims a scanner at YT, zaps her barcode. Hundreds of pages about YT's personal life zoom up on a graphic screen.
"Huh," he says. "Female."
The two medicops look at each other like, what a genius. This guy could never be a medicop.
"Sorry, boys, we're full up. No space for females tonight."
"Oh, come on!
See that bus in back? There was a riot at Snooze and Cruise. Some narcolumbians were selling a bad batch of vertigo. Place went nuts. Enforcer sent in a half a dozen squads. Brought in about 30. So we're full up. Try the clink down the street.
YT does not like the looks of this. They put her back in the car, turn on the noise cancellation in the back seat so she can't hear anything except squirts and gurgles coming from her own empty tummy, and the glistening crackle whenever she moves her glommed-up hand. She was really looking forward to a hooskow meal. Campfire chili or bandit burgers. In the front seat, the two medicops are talking to each other. They pull out into traffic. Up in front of them is a square illuminated logo. A giant universal product code in black on white with buy and fly underneath it. Stuck onto the same signpost, beneath the buy and fly sign, is a smaller one. A narrow strip in generic lettering. The Clink. They are taking her to the Clink. The bastards. She pounds on the glass with cuffed together hands, leaving sticky handprints. Let these bastards try to wash the stuff off. They turn around and look right through her, the guilty scum, like they heard something but they can't imagine what. They enter the buy-and-fly's nimbus of radioactive blue security light. Second medicop goes in, talks to the guy behind the counter. There's a fat white boy purchasing a Monster Trucks magazine, wearing a new South Africa baseball cap with a Confederate flag, and overhearing them, he peers out the window, wanting to lay his eyes on a real perp. A second man comes out from back, same ethnicity as the guy behind the counter. Another dark man with burning eyes and a bony neck. This one is carrying a three-ring binder with the Buy and Fly logo. To find the manager of a franchise, don't strain to read his title off the name tag. Just look for the one with the binder. The manager talks to the medicop, nods his head, pulls a keychain out of a drawer. Second medicop comes out, saunters to the car, suddenly whips open the back door.
"Shut up," he says, "or next time I fire the loogie gun into your mouth."
"Good thing you like the Clink," YT says, "'cause that is where you will be tomorrow night, loogie man."
"Is that right?"
"Yeah, for credit card fraud."
"Me cop, you thrasher. How you gonna make a case at Judge Bob's judicial system?"
"I work for Radicais. We protect our own."
"Not tonight, you don't. Tonight you took a pizza from the scene of a car wreck. Left the scene of an accident. Radicais tell you to deliver that pizza."
YT does not return fire. The medicop is right. Radicais did not tell her to deliver that pizza. She was doing it on a whim.
"So Radicais ain't gonna help you. So shut up."
He jerks her arm and the rest of her follows. The three-ringer gives her a quick look, just long enough to make sure she is really a person, not a sack of flour or an engine block or a tree stump. He leads them around to the fetid rump of the buy-and-fly, dark realm of wretched refuse and teeming dumpsters. He unlocks the back door, a boring steel number with jimmy marks around the edges like steel-clawed beasts have been trying to get in. YT is taken downstairs into the basement. First medicop follows, carrying her plank, banging it heedlessly against doorways and stained polycarbonate bottle racks.
"Better take her uniform. All that gear," the second medicop suggests, not unlewdly.
The manager looks at YT, trying not to let his gaze travel sinfully up and down her body. For thousands of years, his people have survived an alertness, waiting for Mongols to come galloping over the horizon, waiting for repeat offenders to swing sawed-off shotguns across their checkout counters. His alertness right now is palpable and painful. He's like a goblet of hot nitroglycerin. The added question of sexual misconduct makes it even worse. To him, it's no joke. YT shrugs, trying to think of something unnerving and wacky. At this point, she's supposed to squeal and shrink, wriggle and whine, swoon and beg. They are threatening to take her clothes. How awful. But she does not get upset, because she knows that they are expecting her to. A courier has to establish space on the pavement. Predictable law-abiding behavior lulls drivers. They mentally assign you to a little box in the lane, assume you will stay there, can't handle it when you leave that little box. YT is not fond of boxes, YT establishes her space on the pavement by zagging mightily from lane to lane, establishing a precedent of scary randomness, keeps people on their toes, makes them react to her, instead of the other way around. Now these men are trying to put her in a box, make her follow rules. She unzips her coverall all the way down below her navel. Underneath is naught but billowing pale flesh. The medicops raise their eyebrows. The manager jumps back, raises both hands up to form a visual shield, protecting himself from the damaging input.
"No, no, no," he says.
YT shrugs, zips herself back up. She's not afraid. She's wearing a dentata. The manager handcuffs her to a cold water pipe. Second medicop removes his newer, more cybernetic brand of handcuffs, snaps them back onto his harness. First medicop leans her plank against the wall, just out of her reach. Manager kicks a rusty coffee can across the floor, caroming it expertly off her skin so she can go to the bathroom. "Where are you from?" YT asks.
"Tajikistan," he says.
"Tajik. She should have known."
"Well, shit-can soccer must be your national pastime."
The manager doesn't get it. The medicops emit rote shallow laughter. Papers are signed. Everyone else goes upstairs. On his way out the door, the manager turns off the lights. In Tajikistan, electricity is quite the big deal. YT is in the clink.